Hello and welcome to the end of quarter four, week four, and I know I'm really coming in late last minute with this podcast, as it is 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Thursday night game has already gone on, and I would usually do at this point go right into the action from last week, and actually technically I should be covering the action from last week and the week before, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to do it. I got an action-packed podcast already set up. I've got Chris Murphy to talk about this week's matchups and who he thinks will win it. I got Patrick Kiernan on to discuss the power rankings up to this point, putting everyone in order from best to worst. And so I'm just going to let that jump right in and enjoy. All right, now for today's special podcast, I've got with me Patrick Kiernan. Say hi.
Hello.
And he is going to help me go through, and we're going to argue power rankings. We are 4 weeks in officially, and so we're close to a quarter way done with the entire season, including playoffs. So we're going to put together a quick power rankings, and then I'm going to ask Kiernan who he thinks a possible playoff bracket might be. Kiernan, we'll start from the bottom and work our way up.
All right.
So who do you have as your lowest power ranking? What is it, number 10?
Yeah. Well, before I start with anything, I just want to point out this is my first time on the podcast or newsletter like since last year. So I'm not bitter about it. I'm just saying. But first, coming in at number 10, it really shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. It's Jeans, the OBJYN team. Maybe it's got something to do with Odell Beckham's not on his team, but still his team name. Is he too lazy to change it? Does he think that since he did decent last year, it's going to keep him going? I don't know. Murphy gets a pass since he won the league last year, but Jeans doesn't. But anyway, on draft night, he got quick to bragging about how he had the best team. And he's crawled to an 0-4 record, scoring the least amount of points in the league at 406.9, which is 15 behind the next person. And four of his 10 remaining matchups are against teams with winning records right now, so it's not looking too hot for Jeans from here on out. His team's filled with players who were primed to have good seasons, but kind of faltered instead. David Johnson, he took second overall. He's been below average in a season that was supposed to be a comeback for him. LeSean McCoy, I don't know where he went. He disappeared. There's someone different playing in his body. His wide receivers have been mostly league average. And important to look out for week 9. He's going to have a really tough one because David Johnson, TJ Yeldon, AJ Green, and both tight ends of his, Eric Ebron and Evan Engram, as well as the Jaguars D, are all on bye.
Wow. That's a lot of people on
bye. It's a lot of people, but if there's one silver lining here for Jeans, he's got two really good quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. Maybe he could work out a trade with someone so that he could stitch up his running game. But barring anything unforeseen, we should start thinking of punishments for Jeans. So,
wow. As you could tell, listening from this point forward, Kiernan has done a lot more research than I. I'm going to agree with your standings on that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to host any bias on it because I do have my bet with Jeans. But Jeans' team is definite need of some reconstruction. I agree with him on that. He's relying on two old running backs. And that, sure, Adrian Peterson has been putting out numbers.
Yeah.
But that's going to falter.
Arguably his most reliable running back.
Which is scary.
A little.
But yeah, I definitely do agree with you on your number 10 pick. Please give us some insight on who's next at number 9.
So number 9 is the Turkey Subs, John Packer, now Sadko. And I know he's doing pretty well so far, but there's always one team that suffers from the injury bug, and it seems like it's going to be Packer, unfortunately. Leonard Fournette, he's out indefinitely. Tyler Eifert just broke his ankle. He's done for the season. And then on his bench, he's got Jack Doyle, too, who's been out the past couple of weeks. So tight end's a problem. Running back's a problem. He's been doing well, but I don't think it's going to get much better from here on out. His team's in the bottom four in points scored, and he's going to need plenty to stay out of last place, maybe finish around a 500 record. But he did make a big move today, the trade with Murph. And I wrote all my notes before the trade happened. I had to kind of scramble last minute. So I wrote that he had Odell Beckham and Tyreek Hill, but he traded Tyreek Hill to Murph. And so now he's got Mark Ingram back instead, so that'll help out his running game, hopefully. For my sake, I hope they just let Alvin Kamara do whatever the hell he wants. But he's got some decent wide receiver pieces there still with Tyreek Hill guy. He's got Allen Robinson. He's got Marvin Jones. He's got Carlos Hyde, too. So he's got some good things there, but there are just a little too many pieces missing. It's going to take a lot to stay out of the cellar for Packer, I think.
The most interesting moves that I can see from Packer is that he's loving the waiver wire, which definitely doesn't show much confidence in team. You can lose a locker room like that, Packer. But to put more official terms, yes, we had our first trade of the season, which in between Packer and Murphy, where Packer gave Murphy Tyreek Hill for the Rams D and Mark Ingram. And I agree with Kearns on the fact that Kamara could easily just be their number one running back with Mark Ingram playing maybe a change of pace position. He's been doing really well with them, and best case, he's part of a committee running back situation. So hopefully Mark Ingram does well for Packers' sake, but I don't see it doing well. As for a number nine overall, I could see it. If you asked me last week about this, I would have put Team Lap Daddy, but their team showed a spark of life and a really good one at that, basically getting robbed in this week's matchup between them and Fronk, with Fronk just sneaking in and winning on Monday night's game. But they showed a spark, and they showed that they could be a team worth reckoning with. So I have to agree with Kearns this time with the Turkey Subs being number nine on his pick. Who's number eight?
Number eight is actually the team you're just talking about. It is Team Murphy, headed by Lapone and Jenny. And like you said, they just suffered a real heartbreaking loss to Frank. They scored in the 140s, so they showed that they can put the points up when they need to. Unfortunately, they were just against a better team. And that's been a silver lining for them all season, because they lead the league in points against with 502.
Wow.
Which over 4 weeks is a ton. But looking for what this team needs to get better, the running game needs the most work. Right now, Alex Collins and Tariq Cohen are carrying the load. Alex Collins, he's kind of in a bit of a committee backfield there in Baltimore with Javorius Buck Allen. And Tariq Cohen, he had a big game last week, but Jordan Howard usually does most of the running there, but he's been a bit inefficient, so who knows, maybe Cohen does more. And they have Devonta Freeman on their bench too, so whenever he comes back, they'd be greatly appreciated for them. And they got some good wide receivers there, Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe a wide receiver trade for running back could help them out. And also, silver lining, six of their remaining 10 games are against opponents that currently have a 500. They're 500 or worse. So that could be a big help as the season progresses. Some easier opponents, maybe. But some help at running back and tight end, too. That'd really help them get closer to 500 and sustain a decent season.
Okay. Good pick for the number eight. But I'm going to disagree with you on a number eight pick. I'm actually going to put myself down at number eight.
Okay.
Being the team owner, I know the struggle that my team is going through. Basically, I've got what should have been a really good running back in Saquon Barkley, but he's on a very unreliable Giants offense that has been showing that Barkley is basically a boom or bust sort of running back. He's going to get a lot of touches, but unless he has a really big run that does him something, he's not going to be that much reliable. My wide receivers are on the same page. Keenan Allen hasn't been doing anything, and same with Devontae Adams. And my bench last week, my top scorer was Mitchell Trubisky. Well, that was a special occasion. Yeah. He threw 6 touchdowns. But besides that, I don't have much on the bench to switch out for starters in case of emergencies. I feel like I've been lucking out, getting up to 2-2 itself. But we'll see how time tells. And now, I'm going to bet I know you're number 7.
Well, yeah, because you're looking at my sheet, Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you.
It's me.
Crabtree's on my Johnson Jr. And, yeah, you're 2-2 right now, but it's really off strength of schedule. You got 422 points in the league, which is kind of toward the bottom, but it still outpaces your 403.8 points against, which is the least of anyone in the league. Yeah, so you've been getting really lucky scraping by, but you're going to have tougher matchups on the way, so might be tough to win this season back. You have 5 matchups throughout the rest of the season against teams with current winning records, so you got your work cut out for you. Your starters are decent enough to hold together a winning team. You know, Saquon Barkley, you know, he's not a bad team, but he's been doing well so far. He's been making the best out of a bad situation. Keenan Allen and Davante Adams a little slow, but they should be top tier wide receivers. Tight end is a big problem. You've gone through a couple of them now. And your bench is a bit weak, too, as far as wide receivers go. It's just Robbie Anderson and Devontae Parker. And in weeks 7 and 8 are your 2 wide receivers bye weeks. So, yeah, you're going to have to fill them in with whatever you can. And also, with Le'Veon Bell coming back after week 7 now, hopefully knock on wood, James Conner will be playing second fiddle. So that's a running back you'll be going down. So, yeah, some organizational changes definitely going to have to be made. But right now, 7 is where you stand. And if you all make some changes, I fear it's where you might stay or even regress.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's a scary thought. Moving on, you're number 6.
Well, who's your 7?
I don't know. I just got torn to bits.
No. Well, you picked yourself at 8.
I did.
Sound worse for yourself.
I didn't do research. It was more of just off the cuff. Yours was felt like a personal attack. Anyway, I'm going to do a full switch on it.
Right.
I'm going to put Lapp down as my number 7.
Okay.
Instead, I believe he does have him and Jen do have a better team than I do. So they're at least better than I. But looking at the rest of the team and what you've said already for them in the number 8 really does justice of why they're only 1 on top of me. Number 6.
So, number 6, I know he's got a 3-1 record, but I'm putting Dom down at 6. He made some really questionable moves on draft night, namely drafting Gronk and Travis Kelce back-to-back. But he hasn't really let that hurt him. He's 3-1. He's got the 5th most points for in the league. But he's got some issues that might prevent him from being a playoff team. With Le'Veon Bell holding out, his running game has pretty much been held together by the grace of God. Marshawn Lynch, he's found a new life. It's like he's 5 years younger. Ripped off 100 yards this past week, and he's had a touchdown every week except for this last one. And then his second running back spot has just pretty much been occupied by whatever pick of the week. But he's been getting lucky with them. His bench is pretty thin, too. A lot of league average running backs and wide receivers occupying the spots. But week 7 is going to be tough. He goes against the Fatahs team. And on bye, Dom is going to have both his quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, and Juju Smith-Schuster. So if he can't figure out a strategy for the bye weeks and find some better bench players, he might end up on the outside looking in.
All right. Wow, that's really good. Just a small statistical correction. Dom has, besides Le'Veon Bell, 1 backup running back.
Yeah.
That's it. You just said running backs. That's just my correction up here.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
It's good. All right, Nancy.
It's going to hold you honest.
Yeah.
All right. I could see that as a good 6. Mainly because looking at the rest of what we're about to talk about, this is going to be just the. It's very defined where
there's a switch.
There is a definite switch where the league sits. Right now, Dom does have a 3-1 record, but as you've said, he's just been getting lucky. No one on his team, besides Gronk, Kelce, Ben, and Aaron are right now are big name players that I can know he can rely on. So, yeah, good spot in six. Now let's get to the full switch.
Yeah.
Who is your five? Let's start the top five.
So five, I've got the Bukkake Thunder Stars, Franck, coming in. And he's 1-3, sixth in the league in points scored right now, but I see things looking up for him the rest of the season. He just had a massive week, putting up more than 150 points, which showed his guys can really put up the numbers. And also, he's had a tough schedule to start with. Six of his remaining 10 games will be against teams with a 500 record or worse going out. So he should have some favorable matchups. Also, his team had a bit of the injury bug early on. Carson Wentz was out the first couple of weeks. Joe Mixon had good week 1 and 2 before going down. And he's got great players in his lineup. Aside from that, he's got Kareem Hunt, Julio Jones, Adam Thielen. So a really strong core. But his bench is sparse. He only has 1 week where more of his assumed starters will be on bye. So he shouldn't have to fill in the cracks too much. So I think things are going to look up for him as the season moves on. He might have an outside shot at a playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, just looking at his team, I completely agree with you. It's just unbelievable the amount of star power he's got on there. And yeah, he did hit the injury bug pretty hard. But yeah, definite five, definite comeback player coming down from 1-3 and possibly even going up to what could be a playoff spot, possibly. We'll talk about that after this, but that's a good pick for number five. Go ahead and give me number four.
So number four, I have Fataz, Jimmy Ursini. He had a bit of a questionable draft, too. He took a lot of players early on, guys like Justin Tucker, James White, guys who, maybe he thought they should have been taken later, but they paid off for Jimmy, and they've helped him to the tune of a 3-1 record so far. He's fourth in the league in points scored with 481.9, and will have just three more matchups against teams currently with a 1-3 record or worse. So he might have a bit of an uphill battle to go, but if his team keeps it up, they should perform about par. His biggest test will be in week 10, where on bye he's going to have Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, the Vikings D, and his beloved Justin Tucker. So it's a lot of manpower to make up for. Jimmy's bench is a tad lackluster to make up for it all in that week, so I'll be one to look out for. Jordan Howard, Larry Fitzgerald, you think they'd be good picks, but they've been disappointments so far. He's got decent pieces on his bench like Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman. Well, Coleman only so long as Freeman's still injured. So Jimmy's starting lineup can fight. His bench and schedule are going to hamper him when it comes to getting a playoff spot.
Nice. This is one of those times I'm going to disagree with you. I believe Murphy should get this spot instead of Jimmy. I believe Jimmy should be at least one higher. I think he deserves the three spot instead of wherever Murphy put him. But I believe Murphy belongs in the four spot. I haven't done the research as much as Kieran's does, but just looking at it, he just traded away his only backup running back. So now he has a team of all wide receivers. He's relying on pretty decent players overall, but in the end, I think Jimmy's got more star power than that. So I'm going to put Murphy down as my number four position.
So then at three, I have Murphy, the famous Jameis. So Murphy's team, he's had a bit of tough luck going 2-2 to start the season, despite having the third most points scored of any team. He's had some high scoring weeks, but he's got the second most points allowed thus far. So he's had a bit of a tough go at it. It's going to come down to decision making, like a few weeks ago when he benched Drew Brees for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bit of a dumb move for Murph to be a good playoff team. His lineup is pretty loaded as it stands with all of his assumed starters, guys like Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, along with Jarvis Landry, Brandon Cooks, and now after that trade, Tyreek Hill. So he's got a lot of good pieces. He's got done a good job of stocking his bench up with good players. He's got Julian Edelman on there, Chris Hogan, classic Patriots guy. So you know, those guys should help him get through the weeks where he doesn't have his stars playing, and I see him as a playoff team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to put Jimmy. Okay. Just looking at what we have left to talk about, Jimmy just gets this spot just because the next two are definitely going to be teams way better than him. Mm. Which leads me to, tell me your number two, and then we'll go, tell me right away your number one, and we'll talk about how I disagree with you.
Okay, so my number two is me, and then my number one is Jason. And well, would you like me to explain them first?
Do number two and then walk up to number one.
All right, so number two, that's me. Take Mahomes Country Roads. I kind of put a huge asterisk next to me on this one, given how I blow early leads. Last year I started out 5-0, lost five games in a row, ended the season 7-7. So the paranoia in me at 4-0 immediately starts to have flashbacks of that happening again. So honestly, if I lose this week, I feel like I'd be better off than if I were 5-0. History couldn't possibly repeat itself. But anyway, so 4-0 to start, and my team's given me a lot of hope. The only undefeated team still in action. I got the most points in the league with 569.4, more than 70 in front of Jason. But not this coming week, but week six is going to be my biggest worry. Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas are both on bye. So those are my two biggest players that I need to fill in for. At running games, being held together a bit by scotch tape, aside from Alvin Kamara. I got a good run at Gio Bernard the past couple weeks with Joe Mixon out. Philip Lindsay, Chris Carson helping out in pinches where they can. And aside from Michael Thomas, Stephon Diggs, and Doug Baldwin, my receiving core is kind of weak. And Patrick Mahomes has just been Jesus Christ incarnate. So if he can keep doing that, that'd be good. The best thing going for me, I have five matchups against teams that are 1-3 or 0-4. So those are matchups that I should be favored in. If I'm able to ride my hot start into those easier matchups, I should be able to ride into the postseason on a pretty strong note.
Nice. And number one?
And number one is Jason, two girlies, one cup. Jason's 3-1 through the first 4 weeks. He's got the second most points in the league with 493.7. And I said this from the beginning, he's got the most loaded roster from the starters to his bench players. I think where we're going to see Jason take off is once the bulk of the bye weeks are happening. And Jason's going to be able to fill his starters in with reliable bench players, still top-tier talent, while the rest of us won't be able to. And just looking at this past week, on his bench, he had Amari Cooper, who got 22.8 points. Cooper Kupp, he had 32.7. Running backs, Royce Freeman on his bench, he had 12.7. Kerryon Johnson, 12.1. And those are both rookies who could get hot on any given week, given that they're kind of committee backs, and any one week they can take off. And that's all to complement a lineup that already has Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Mike Evans, etc. I think Jason's the team to beat here. He's going to show that he's got a lot of talent, both on his starters and his bench, and we're going to see that when the bye weeks are happening. Well, they're already happening, but when they keep going, he's going to show himself. Nice. Not physically show himself, but
he could.
With his team, he might physically show himself if he gets excited. I don't know. Who am I to say?
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
I disagree with you. I believe that your team should be the number one team up to this point.
Oh, thanks.
Even though you did just tell me that your two top talents have a bye week of week six, which means if you win this upcoming week, it means that already...
Yeah, all the dominoes are falling.
All the dominoes are lined up for you to crumble after a 5-0 start. But even though, yes, Jason does have the fill-in, your team has just been a powerhouse team. I mean, even just looking at it, you're averaging 140 points a week. 140 points a week. Yeah. That's insane.
I mean, it's early.
Yeah, and as you said, it's like a 70-point difference between you and Jason, who's in second currently.
I mean, yeah.
I think as much as you think Jason could fill in the gaps. You're riding enough superstars that you can sacrifice the time that they're not here.
I hope so.
If anything, I would put you at one, Jason at two, and that's that. That's my say.
Well, thanks, Lizek.
Yeah. Even though you did rip my team a new one, I'll give you that. But anyway, all right. So that was the power rankings. So, Kieran, are you going to stick with what your power rankings say will be the four teams in the playoffs? Or do you believe possibly there is a dark horse in our midst?
So I do think the four playoff teams will be Jason, myself, Murph, and Jimmy. But, you know, anything could happen. I really think Frank's going to have a turnaround second half once his entire lineup's healthy. I feel like his guys could take off. And I don't know, Dom, he's been riding a really hot hand. All we know, it keeps going. So I'd put those two as my dark horses to make a playoff run. But anything could happen. Even the guys further back than that have a chance. Everyone has a chance. It's only week four.
It is only week four. We still have 3/4 of our season to go ahead of us. A lot of stuff can happen between now and then. A lot of stuff has already happened.
What do I know? I'm not a professional.
Exactly. Well,
I don't get paid to do this.
Not yet, Tom. But up to this point, I mean, right now we've had a huge switch in the season itself with a couple of major players coming back. Starting with Josh Gordon coming back, Fournette came back for a partial game, and now he's out for the season.
Indefinitely.
I'm going to put him the season, but indefinitely doesn't sound good.
I mean, it doesn't.
Now we got Edelman back, we've got Ingram back, both on Murphy's team, so we'll see how he plays with that. Even though, actually, I lied, Ingram is now on Packers' team. We'll see how much that shakes up the locker room and maybe possibly get Packer higher up in those standings. But we're only four games in.
Packer's just got to feed his guys those turkey subs that he talks about.
Yeah, I guess. I don't even know where that came from.
It's like Michael Jordan's secret stuff. Packer's turkey subs.
But I do believe possibly Jeans is riding the curse of a team name that's not of a member, possibly. It's only at least Murphy came up with the excuse of he won with that team name, he might as well hold on to it. That makes sense. But maybe Jeans, what's holding it back is a little curse, buddy, little jinx by holding on to a team name that you don't have the player for.
This is also just karma coming back, striking Jeans for declaring that he had the best team easily on draft night.
He did say that a lot. I have a written document that says he can beat my team. signed by your brother. All right. So that's all from us over here. Kieran, thanks for coming on, doing the research, really good research on power rankings. If you don't like what he's got to say, leave a voice message. I can put you onto the podcast, and you can argue with him over voice message if you believe your team should be higher up. You can argue with me if you believe your team should be higher up, considering Kieran is right here, and I put him at number one. So let me know. I'll put you on. We'll get a good conversation going.
If you had anything to say, let me know if you want smoke.
You heard it here first.
Hello, everyone. And I've got Christopher Murphy for a second time trying to get him on the podcast. Last time we had very bad echoing, and it sounded like I was three people trying to talk at the same time. Chris, say hello to the people.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me, Sticks.
Hey, I'm just happy we got you on a second time. I know you got a busy schedule.
Yes, I am just swamped, but always happy to make the time. For you, Dennis, and the people.
Dennis is no longer in earshot, so he can't hear you.
Ah, shit. All right. Fuck him. All
right, well, let's jump right into it. Let's jump into the game everyone's talking about. I'm putting this game down as my game of the week, and it's Jeans versus Team Laugh Daddy.
Oh, man.
It's basically one of the teams is finally going to get a win this season. Their first win of in 5 weeks. Who do you got and why?
I'm going to take Jeans because on paper – Number one, a couple reasons. Number one, on paper, his team looks a little better, but that's okay. The more I look into it, there's a bye on Lap Daddy. There's T.Y. Hilton. They're gonna have to dig into the bench a little bit. But I'm gonna take James for a second reason because Jen and Lap threw a lot of beef my way in week one, and that doesn't sit well. So that's who I'm gonna pick.
All right, I like that. I'm gonna go against you. This week, a lot of players that Team Lap Daddy had that are superstars that were out are coming back in. Devontae Freeman's back in. Jeffrey's back in for Philly. So they can fill in those two spots they have buys. So Cohen can move out of their way, and T.Y. Hilton's easily replaceable. And on the other side, Jeans, I'm very biased because Jeans and I...
He's in full panic mode right now.
He is full panic mode.
he's in a complete panic. At least Jen and Lapper are... They're just going for it, and what happens, happens. But Jeans is in a full panic.
He's looking for trades with anyone. I've seen him talk to you about trades, you about trades.
So,
I definitely think LaPome and Jenny have that one. They're going to get their first win of the season. I'm going to have to start doing them. If Jeans loses, I'm going to have to start doing the math on at what point Jeans will have to give me my $100.
Yes, that's. Get the calculator out.
End of the season, come down to that, so the last game of the last season. Going forward with that, let's talk to, actually, a guy that you recently did a trade with. Packer versus Dom. You gave Packer,
Mark Ingram.
Thank you, Mark Ingram. My senior analyst, Jason Aldrizio, has officially just joined us.
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Great. Doing good.
Good.
So right now, believe it or not, Dom is supposed to win this one, but it's because Packer has yet to look at his team. He has Leonard Fournette starting, who's out indefinitely, Tyler Eifert, who's still in, who has a broken foot, and Allen Robinson's on a bye. So it's tough to go off of ESPN's pick of this one since he hasn't touched his line.
Well, if I could just jump in here, I think he should start other people. And anyway, I feel like you guys have got this, so I'm going to get out of here.
No, well, thank you for your insight.
Yep, you got it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
So,
I am shocked. I'm shocked that Packer – does Packer have a win? Is two wins. That is the most shocking thing that I've seen. Because it appears that he just, I don't know. I honestly have nothing to say about Packers team.
So I'll get into it as we continue into these games, but our league really likes to fall into patterns, and this pattern happened last season where Packer looked like a dominant force and then so far fell down. He looked good last season with starting Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette. I gave him a lot of shit for starting two rookie running backs. They turned out to be superstars. And he did this exact thing where he looked awesome in the beginning and then fell right apart.
Yeah, I think his attention is altered as the season goes on. I would keep an eye on this guy, too, as the commissioner, Beans, because I got some choppy trade requests from him yesterday. But kept it within the rules overall, yeah.
I'm the one who got that trade request for Sam Darnold that one time. Straight up Sam Darnold for, like, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, that's within the rules, so... I'm just saying, keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him.
Oh, I will. So, are you going to get back? You're picking Sablano?
I'm going to pick Sablano. like I said, I'm just really worried about Packers' attention and his roster.
So let's talk about you. Franck walked away last week with a surprise win, about to lose it, and then on Monday, he hops onto Kareem Hunt's back, and Kareem Hunt leads him into a win in the Monday night game against opponents. Are you worried that that could happen to you as well?
Absolutely not, Boone. After the trade I made, my team is I'm very, very confident in my team. And not only for this week, but for the long run. It was a big trade for me, and I'm very, very optimistic about it.
Yeah, who did you get from the trade? Because it hasn't kicked in on ESPN yet.
So I traded Mark Ingram and the Rams D for Tyreek Hill.
It sounds like you just got the Tyreek Hill for the Rams D.
Yeah, essentially, boom.
Ingram is going onto a team that didn't need him to start, and he's at most going to be on a committee backfield.
That's, hey, you don't have to tell that to me, man. I just shipped him. And I needed another receiver, and after negotiations, he just wanted the Rams to be a part of the deal, so it was easy decision.
Oh, that is a really easy decision.
Yeah.
So not worried, you're picking yourself. Unfortunately, Franck, I'm also going to pick Murphy for this win, just a safe bet. Nothing risky here, I'm picking you. So I'm going to go with that. Before we talk about the Battle of the Titans, let's go back and talk about the Fatahs versus me.
I played Jimmy's team last week, and they had a pretty good game. Did you win last week, Baines?
I did not. Team Sablano really, really... it was a tight matchup up to the Monday night game where you had one more player to go and or two more players to go, and they put up a reckoning on me.
All right, I'm gonna go with you, Beans, for two reasons. One, because I hate Jimmy's attitude on Sundays towards fantasy, and I think Vance McDonald on your team would kick my ass if I didn't pick you guys. So just let him know that I picked you. So he doesn't come
I'll let
me.
Vance. It's actually funny. The tight end that I drafted. I've drafted, no joke, you. And
Interesting. Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah. Fuck Jimmy.
All right, now let's get to the game that people are talking about. Kieran versus Jason. I did this last night. He's averaging 140 points a week.
Who, Kieran?
Kieran. So looking at the team right now, knowing that Jason doesn't even have a defense playing right now, who do you got and why?
It's a good matchup. I'm gonna go with Jason, even though I don't want him to win, strictly because Kamara might get some less carries, and Kieran's other running back, Lindsay, is kind of in a crowd of running backs, and compared to Jason's running backs especially, they'll get a lot of points. So that's my thinking.
All right. That's a very good thinking on your part. I like Jason's running backs. I like Cairns' wide receivers.
Yeah.
But the fact that we let Jason get Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon is really on our part pretty bad. But at the same time, where you're scared of Vance, I'm scared of Philip Lindsay. He's been shown to throw punches professionally. on the football field. So, actually, another fun fact I realized, Kieran reminded me that last year he also went 5-0 and then crumbled to pieces and never saw the playoffs.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so he's already worried that this year. So, and he also pointed out, and you'll hear it during his follow through of his power rankings later in the episode, that week six he has two of his biggest players on bye, so he's already set up to go.
He's already panicking. He's already panicking. Jeez.
So for Kieran's nerves, I'm going to pick Jason so that Kieran can lose a game and realize that he will not repeat last year, and he can sleep again. So,
yeah.
Easy pick, that one. Besides that, that's all I've got for as a walkthrough with you, Chris Murphy. Anything else you would like to say to the people listening before we send off?
No, not much. Again, really happy with my trade, and everyone should pucker their assholes a little bit for when they play me.
Okay. Well, you heard
that's
it
all
first.
I have to say.
Pucker your assholes.
Yep. Get those assholes puckered, folks.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thanks, Bean. See you, man.
See ya.